At this time, I'd like to invite Vice President Knorr to present an update on the finances of the university. It's always a highlight of our meetings, and Walt, we look forward to your inspiring words.
Yes, Dr. Wilson, this is after your presentation. This
you may want to raise the mic up, Walt. You may want to raise, there you go.
I don't know if anything I'm going to say is worth hearing, but I would like to start off with a Snapchat of what's happened since our last board meeting 48 days ago. Much of it is pretty much understood. Of course, the state budget remains at impasse. We continue to have a spread of possible reduction ranges to the university in our appropriation from $57 million, which was the 8.5% that the legislature cut when they passed their version of the budget, up to $209 million, which is the 31% that the governor proposed back in February. The state does continue to pay our FY15 appropriation. We are down now to $49 million still due to us from FY15. The state does also, this is another one of the things that the state has said they will do, they are continuing to pay the FY15 Medicaid claims, and they say that they will pay the FY16 claims on an FY15 basis. Again, all that would be subject to the vagaries of the state's cash flow as far as that's concerned. We did make the August payroll from our resources that we have on hand. And again, I think we're assured that we're going to be making the September payroll be made. We continue to have a UA hiring freeze, and that continues in place since July 1. The rating agencies did in August affirm our ratings. Again, Moody's affirming a AA3 with a negative outlook for the university, and Standard & Poor's a AA- with a, and they moved us from a stable to a negative outlook. And again, those outlooks are based on the situation with the state. Lastly, we have been responding every day to legislative staff requests for information, data, and just a myriad of requests coming in and with quick turnarounds. And I really want to thank Randy Kangas and Sandy Street and Bar Welge and Maureen Parks and Jamie Painter for basically being on top of this and turning these and getting this data together in a very expeditious basis and satisfy the legislative staff and their timetable. Today, I'm going to concentrate on performance for the university for FY15. I think that for FY15, it was a year of performance. The hospitals and auxiliaries all had positive outcomes. The physicians plan did have a shortfall, and I'll go into that. I think we're in a year of transition between fee-for-service Medicaid and managed care Medicaid, so we'll talk about that in a few seconds. As I've shown you in the past, tuition revenue came in right on budget, and sponsored research, and I'll see that in a second, came in right on budget with our expenses for 2015. At the end of 14, we did collect in 15 the remaining the appropriation it was $150 million was collected in FY15 from the 14 appropriation. That was all collected by the first quarter of FY15. We did have a year of continuing challenges. First time since 2007, we had a rescission of $18.4 million in 2015. We ended the year with a $114 million appropriation receivable, which was lower than all the previous years that we've had, but we did finish with $114 million appropriation receivable, and again, $49 million is remaining on that. The state at June 30th had $5.5 billion of unpaid bills, and yesterday Controller Munger came out and said that she said that as of today it's $6 billion of unpaid bills, and if they continue on the course they're going on, and this is from Controller Munger, that by calendar year end the state will have $8.5 billion of unpaid bills, and that number excludes bills for higher education. Which would be because they're not recognizing, because we are not they're not accepting our bills for FY16. So that $8.5 billion excludes any bills that would be coming in for higher education once an appropriation is set. I just show this because I think that, as we go into 16 and we have this further profound uncertainty about the appropriation and the budget, et cetera, that we've been kind of prepping for this for the last half a dozen years with basically the long delays in payments to the university that we experienced, particularly a couple years ago when we basically had almost 90% of the appropriation not paid to us and owed to us. And we've been adjusting all through these years our cash flow mechanisms to make sure that we basically can continue to make payments with this kind of, I called it kind of a de facto rescissions that were going on for the last half a dozen years. And it was basically, I think, great prep as we go into this FY16 and now with no appropriation and not able to actually bill the state for our appropriation. This is in response to Chairman McMillan's request, is basically what has been the direct state support for our students over the last 15 years. 15 years ago, the per student support was almost $16,000 per student. Now we're almost half of that at $8,000 per student. But again, part of this, in fairness, this is also basically has to reflect an additional over 10,000 additional students would be in this calculation. But this is basically in response to Chairman McMillan's request for that information. But also in fairness, though, to the state, again, these are the final numbers for payments on behalf for FY15 over on the right side, that the state is basically picking up in pension and health care costs for the university in FY15, $1,173,000,000 in costs of health care and pension, $491 million in health care costs, $682 million in pension costs. This is after the, for pension, this is after majority of university employees put in their 8% as part of their payroll and a pre-tax reduction from in that 8%. One of the things that basically comes up here is basically the concern, again, for this $187 million, the estimated normal cost. A phenomenon that's starting to happen is that number is starting to shrink as the Tier 2 employees, which have the lower benefit from 2011, is basically they start doing the actuarial studies, that normal cost is starting to shrink just a little bit. But still, for every 1% that we might have to pick up for that, it would be about $19 million university-wide if that becomes part of the equation for the resolution of the FY16 budget. Once a year, I put this up as basically the sticker price for the university for tuition, and this basically reflects the impact of grants, both Pell, supplemental financial aid, and any other grants or waivers that are applied. It does not include loans. It does not reflect loans. But as a result, at Urbana, this is last fall's information, last year's class, at Urbana, 51% are paying full price for tuition, and 15% are paying nothing. At Chicago, 35% are paying full price, 21% are basically, as a result of the grants and waivers, are not paying anything. And in Springfield, it's 25% full price and 27% are not paying anything. So again, this is just basically a reflection of the sticker price as we pay, as we start considering tuition and what's going on. I want to take a look, as I said, performance, the hospital. A year ago, we all stood up here and we're very concerned about having as much as a $40 million loss at the hospital. I think and we basically recovered from October when we almost had to shut down the hospital because of concerns about a strike at the hospital, that we've had a fairly robust second half of the year with volumes at the hospital, as well as basically benefiting from some payments I talked about, disproportionate share payments that were above and beyond what was expected, and with the good work of Dr. Ghosh and his comrades over there at the hospital, holding down costs. So we're looking at actually, instead of a $40 million loss right now, again, unaudited, again, on a preliminary basis, but an $8.7 million operating margin for the hospital, which is a real hats off to them for having that be what happened at the hospital. But and this is all during this period of adjustment going on with the transition from managed care to managed care from fee-for-service. I do want to talk about, I talked about the physician's plan, the medical service plan, did have a shortfall in FY15, $22 million. I think what's happening here, I think, is, and it's off from the budget, is basically what's happening is a transitional period going from the enhanced Medicaid payments that come with the fee-for-service that was previously, prior to FY14, was basically the how they operated. And now they're moving on to this managed care Medicaid, which is basically a reduction in these enhanced Medicaid payments that are coming forth. It's very difficult to match up basically the cash that's being received for the Medicaid payments with the data that's coming from DHFS to try to, there's a big lag in trying to determine that, but it's a, I think it's just a transitional period. The cost, there was a cost involved there, I think that's really, I think there's some non-revenue producing pieces to that, the VPHA's office, the dean's office, which basically has the cancer center, et cetera, are in those expenses. I think there was additional salary costs for as they manned the clinics in Chicago. The auxiliaries all did well. This is apparently statutorily restricted as far as performance. Again, auxiliaries are things like housing, what's room and board, parking lots, recreation, those type of things. Again, they had about a $17 million excess of revenues over expenses, but this is basically has to be fairly controlled by statute. Utility. I'm required by the internal audit people to show this once a year, you know, and again, we were below budget. This is everything. The actual expense for utilities was higher than last year. I think that's mostly attributable to a much colder winter that we had, a longer period of cold winter, and a few new buildings that came online, including the ECE building right over here is a new building that coming online. So, but I'm required to show you that we were on budget with utilities. Sponsored projects, research, this again, this is expense, and expense equals revenue for us, and as you can see, we're pretty much right on budget for the year with our sponsored research. The Chicago, $278 million. It's not a typo that that's you know, exactly the same as budget. It was only off by $100,000 as far in Chicago, so you can see that we're right on. Again, most of the Urbana is NSF, and Chicago is primarily NIH. The foundation, basically distributions to the university. This is basically a combination of basically the pass-through of gifts on a direct basis, as well as the payout from the foundation. The payout from the foundation is 4% on the six-year moving average of the portfolio at the foundation. So that number is probably about $45-50 million of this number. We're a little lower than last year with a distribution to the university of $168 million. Part of that is basically, last year we had a very, very major payout coming from the big Granger gift from last year. There's still some residual from that, but it still reflects for 2015 a very good a fundraising year and a very good successful annual giving program. Quick look at the endowment, how we performed in the endowment. The total endowment for the university at June 30th, market value is $2.4 billion. I'm going to just talk about, you know, very quickly on the left side, the portion that belongs to the university or that we manage is $783 million of that. The rest of it's over it, you know, in the domain of the foundation. Again, most of the our what we are managing is in the investment pool. We very carefully follow the allocation strategies that are approved by the board. We review these allocation strategies with the board on a regular basis. We are assisted by, you know, fine treasury operation, assisted by Ennis Knupp. Ann Ennis Knupp is the outside consultant that basically provides us with additional with assistance. One of the things I only want to point out is it's interesting to me, maybe, is that we manage about 30 farms, and basically that they're in the about almost 10% of the assets of the, on our side of what the university manages. The performance for the year, this is, look at the performance, this is for the various, you know, reporting periods, but you can see for the year that we were at 2.5%, and you'll find that this is probably going to see this across the across the whole spectrum, and that's kind of the numbers, you know, for the year. It was a very tough second half of the year, really driven, our underperformance really came from the global side. Again, everybody's familiar with what was going on in China, as well as, you know, going on with the Greek debt, with all due respect to Dr. Amoritis. You know, the Greek debt was also, you know, pulling us, we're having difficulties with that. And also, interesting enough, is that there was a subsiding of the value of farmland. Farmland had been very high market, but there was subsiding of the farmland market prices. I've shown this to you before in comparison to our peers, but I wanted to show you again the last 5 years of what I call institutional support and academic support expenditures for the university. And when I talk about institutional support, this is administrative costs, primarily UA and the administrative costs of the provost and the chancellor's offices on our campuses would be in institutional support. And then academic support would be the administrative costs that are at the campuses, exclusive of the chancellor and the provost's office. And as you can see, that you know, for purposes here, with everything included, that the institutional support has been at about 5.1% on a comparative basis, fairly steady basis, all the way through this five-year period. I was wondering why the in FY 2009, why it popped was higher, and my research brought back bad memories of the write-off of Global Campus was in that number. But then you can see that the academic support basically has increased up to 9% of the total budget or the total operation of the university. And what I do also, because it basically kind of distorts the numbers, I take out the hospital and medical portion of the medical service plan portion of this for the same comparison. Reads very much similar, but basically with some higher percentages when you take out the hospital and medical service plan. Lastly, I wanted to look about the fiscal outlook for 16. As we're all aware, and I think it's been alluded to this morning, with the budget not passed and really prospects looking fairly dim that being resolved, I think that we're going to probably not be in a position to actually even present a budget at the November meeting. November 14th is the next meeting, and the reason for that is we probably need, for our purposes or our processing, we probably, once we get the ingredients, you know, to our appropriation and any other ingredients to our appropriation or the university budget from the state, we probably need about 60 days on a sliding scale to basically put all of the work into what needs to be done to put together our operating budget. So I'm probably looking at, you know, a further deferral on the operating budget. We'll continue to operate on our continuing appropriation until further notice with as far as that's concerned. One of the things that is concerning, it should not be concerning to the students because it's on us, is that the MAP program is locked up. It's out of the Senate, it's in the House, and that's about $60 million, and that's going to be just add that to the appropriation situation, the receivable. It's not, and the students should not be concerned themselves with that. We have, as I said, $114 million in unpaid vouchers at year end. They have paid us, and $49 million remains, and I do expect to receive that probably this month. They are paying, and basically the controller's office has indicated we'll hopefully have that done this month, pay off the FY15. However, we have about $160 million of unprocessed bills. We basically, this is primarily the payrolls from July and August that basically, as I alluded to, the controller's office is not accepting anything from us as far as, so we have those kind of packaged up and ready to go, but we basically have to hold them until we get the high sign, the budget gets resolved, et cetera, and we can basically move those billings over there. So, and that runs about, that'll probably run about $75 million a month with, you know, so that's kind of the increment that would, you know, happen with probably with September, when we get through September. Again, all the capital, all the state capital projects are frozen. We've We've done some things to basically kind of continue some of the projects using our own money, our piece of the money, to try to keep some of the projects going, but the state dollars are all frozen from the capital appropriations. We continue to look at this major unfunded pension liability. We continue to basically adjust to the Affordable Care Act and all that's been required from the Affordable Care Act and the revisions in the state Medicaid program. Those are all ongoing. And lastly, I think, you know, looking at the economy, I mean, and thinking forward to some of our tuition decisions, et cetera, that the cost of living increase is negligible for the year. So that would be just kind of my summary. And I have 4 minutes on the button.
Just one question. Walt, you commented on the Standard & Poor's and Moody's ratings. There has not been any reduction in those ratings since, what, last spring?
No. Yeah, there was the last time we were adjusted that we took last August was when we took the reduction, and that's when, frankly, they told us you can't be five notches higher than the state. And yep. So when the state went down, they took
right.
The stuff.
Okay. Questions, comments? Yes, Tim.
So it's safe to say that negative outlook on the bond rating is a function of the state situation, not necessarily intrinsic problems within the university.
That's if you read the report, and I can get you the report, it's totally on the state. Okay. I mean, it's in fact, Standard & Poor's report basically says, you know, kind of basically says if the state doesn't resolve this thing, the university can expect to be taken down.
That's been pretty consistent.
It repeats over and over in these reports. That's exactly what they
right.
What they
right.
It's clearly, I mean, the rating is a concern for the state budget and the state pension situation.
Okay. Any further questions or comments? Yeah, Tim?
Yeah, I had a question on the MSP loss.
Yeah.
If you could please help me understand, is that MSP kind of an account upon itself? Did that take the loss?
Yeah, there's 19 pieces to, I mean, 19 funds within the physicians, plus there's the overhead accounts, which were basically the dean's office and it would be the cancer center and all that. If you take a look and look at it on a cash basis, they actually had a profit of $4.5 million. I think, you know, probably the best thing is for me to sidebar with you and basically go over the very detailed okay. explanation, you know, because it really gets very complicated to try to, you know, kind of this transition from this enhanced Medicaid receipts to this new managed care program.
So I think I need some education on that.
I just hope we get paid.
All right, yes, President Clean.
Perhaps it goes without saying, but the board should appreciate that we're continuing to make multiple representations in Springfield on behalf of the university and, in fact, on behalf of all of public education writ large, not just public higher education, meetings with key legislators, meetings with staffers, meetings this week with the budget director and so on. And so we're not just waiting to see what happens. We're trying to influence the decision-making process effectively and emphasizing the value proposition of public higher education to the future economic well-being of the state of Illinois.
Very good. Any other questions, comments? Thank you, Walt. Appreciate it.